say that. Like, that's just the run of the mill.
Here we go. Apparently we're recording.
Okay, and welcome to The Hot Flush, the premier podcast for the perimenopausal. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Woog, and my friend,
Mrs. Berry.
Hello to you.
How are you, Weezy?
Oh, I'm so much better than last week. I started out on Monday. We bought a new car, so that was on Monday. So that was fun. Her name is Latoya Toyota Jackson. She's sassy. And we got rid of the shit rattle bucket, which was a Subaru X something. Oh, it was the worst car. So now we've got a lovely car, and so that was exciting news for us this week. I also ate a cheeseburger.
Hi, Mum.
Which is always, always a highlight for me.
Always a highlight. Yes. Sneaky cheese. Too easy. So Jasper's actually working this afternoon at the Golden Arches, and so there may be a sneaky cheeseburger in my on my horizon.
That's all I need. It's the premier product from McDonald's.
This is true. This is true. Well, I had a week that can just basically get in the bin. It was diabolical.
Oh, and you were on your period too, weren't you?
Yeah, like 46-day cycle. That was nice. And it was seriously like that, however many that is late from. So it was almost 20 days late, right? It's almost like it decided to just make up for it in hormonal sort of just surges and peaks and troughs and but then it was, in terms of what it produced, it was like, what are you doing? Like, it was like it was all pouring out of me in emotion and despair. And as for the actual exiting things of my body, that was almost like an afterthought. But it was just, I had a day, I think it was Tuesday, and I think that was day two.
It's always the worst day.
And there's a couple of people, there's a couple of family members who I'm trying to, just distance myself from, and I have blocked their numbers, but somehow one of them, there was a voicemail from one of them, and Rob was saying that you actually need to block the number with your provider as well. So that was just a real shock. It felt really invasive, or like you're just listening to your voicemails, which I hate.
Who leaves voicemails?
And the only reason I have it is for work. So anyone who isn't work related who leaves me a voicemail is just like, who are you? And so that just, it felt really violated. That
you want to just circle back and vaguely outline what had happened.
It just reached a point in the relationship where I was done. I was done in doing everything to meet their needs, and yet it was never enough. Yeah. And it just got exhausting. And it was a relationship based on guilt and obligation. And I just went, I don't need those anymore.
No, we're big girls now. And you have to do that. Those relationships suck the life out of you as well, and it gives nothing back. And you've got to ask yourself, what am I losing by just giving this a bit of a wide berth for a while? It's so healthy to have boundaries with those people.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, when you hear stories about that where someone just, a family member just stops communicating with another, you sort of go, God, how could they do that? No. And you kind of think that it's just been some sort of arctic, divide. But I probably still think about it every day.
Yeah, of course there's a corner of your mind that thinks that.
And so it's actually not easy, but it's better for me. Health-wise for me, it was the right thing to do.
So what was the message?
All I heard was I don't know if you want to hear from me, which kind of answered their own question, and then I just hit delete.
Yeah.
And then Oscar has had 2 nocturnal seizures within the last week. And then he also had another sort of just personal toileting accident. And then it just oh my God. And then the period thing, my oven completely broke. Like, so it had three quarters broken, and it just was fine. It was just working on one setting. And then on Tuesday, it just went, nah. So I had the two things with Oscar, and then the voicemail, and then my oven broke, and then there was something else as well. And then it was just like, what the, and that was just Tuesday. And then every day was like that. And they weren't catastrophic things, although my oven breaking is catastrophic.
I was going to say, that's pretty bad for you.
And then, you know how you always imagine in your head, like when something like that happens, and then, oh, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to have my dream kitchen, and I'm going to, you know, because, of course, the oven was of a size that doesn't, I think we talked about this last week, and, yeah, so then it became this whole thing of, like, do we redo the kitchen, which is, like, 20 years old, or do we just do that little length of bench where the oven is, and, you know, then there's a set of cabinets. And this sort of stuff, and you know what? I live in my kitchen, and I just don't care. I just want a working oven.
Yes.
And so I have enlisted the help of Mrs. Cork, one of my besties, and who does things like, I don't know, she's like one of those people that can have a piece of string and four sheets of cardboard, and suddenly you'll have, like, I don't know, like a
mobile photo reception.
Yeah. Yeah, right? She's just like, oh, I just made this seat storage cupboard thing for this weird space in the house that wasn't getting really used properly. It's like, what? And it's a full cabinet thing with the lifting up lid, and then she made the cushion that's out. I'm like, oh, my. She's like a MacGyver of domestic, like, house. She's
a person to know.
She's tireless and so inspiring, but inspiring in a way of, like, that's amazing, I'd never do that.
Yeah.
So I pinged her. I went, I will pay you to just fix this, to just tell me what we have to do, to just do this one little section. And, like, seriously.
Big fan of throwing some money at the problem. Big fan.
And seriously, within, like, it felt like it was, like, 4 minutes later, she pinged me back with, like, two scale plant, like, you know, drawings of that little space and the cabinet, like the cabinet carcass thing that we'd need to get from IKEA, and this is the bench top we could use, and no. And I'm like, oh my God, you are just, I just seriously.
Magnificent work.
Yeah. So that was, so the oven was catastrophic. I do probably get a little teary every day when I go to just get some butter out of the fridge to bake, you know, to just go, oh, I'll just make that. And then I go, oh. It's so like,
when's this all going down? Has it got a date?
So Marina and I and Rob are heading to IKEA on Monday, just to do the actual, you know, look at the bit things. And then the boys are all going to take out that little section, a little bit of gentle, as I've called it, demolishing work.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the new oven is coming on Tuesday week.
Awesome. Just be careful of that testosterone and a sledgehammer combination.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
It's just
because, of course, they're just, that's exactly what they're like. They're like, can we smash it? And I'm like,
oh. We lost a guinea pig hutch that way once.
Oh.
So cross communication.
Did you lose the guinea pig?
No, they were just a bit shocked. Because I said, smash that up and put it in the skip, and the young man thought I meant the guinea pig hutch.
So by yesterday, I sort of got to the end of the day, and I suddenly was in the kitchen, and I looked down, and I don't even recall doing it, that I'd got the two glasses that Rob and I have a gin and tonic in, and the board to cut the lime, and some cheese. And I just got it all out in just the space of about 4 minutes of, like, okay, that's work for the day. Oh, look, here's just.
Oh, look what we have here.
Look at this survival package.
Yeah.
So I decided I had to look at things that were good.
Yes.
So getting Marina on board, fabulous, because it actually means something's going to happen. The stove, the oven is bought, like, it's been purchased. It's a Bosch. It's a freestanding, and it's a 90 centimetre. So I am a bit excited about that. Our back veranda that Rob really instigated the cleaning up and organising of is now Schmick. And we just sit out there. We just eat out there every night. And sometimes even we have lunch, like, during the day, and we'll all – and it's just been transformative for this family. So that was a good thing.
But are you ready for the boys to go back to school?
Oh, that was the other thing that happened on Tuesday. Lost my shit. But in a very calm way, in a way of, you know, I am angry, but I'm also disappointed. And, like, Rob and I did the full, standing there just going, you guys haven't stepped up. Like, we have tried to do this in a collaborative way, and we, you know, and you're just not even meeting us halfway. And so if things do not change this week, you will not just be going the one day a week, you will be going back. And I would like to say that there was a complete turnaround in behaviour, but, you know, not really.
Coming to mind today, you know, they're sort of ones in year 11, ones in year 9, and I sort of talked about the future and what they might want to do. And because we're looking for a house maybe down the track, up on the Northern Beaches, up your way. At one today, which was nice but not suitable. And I just said to them, dudes, like, when I was your age, the first thing I could do was get out of home, because they're talking about living at home, like, during their uni and then during their job and saving money. And I'm like, I can't do 10 more years of this.
No, I hear you. Actually, no, that's not true. I actually love having them around, but it's the 24/7 of it. That's the thing that I think is just, you know, because normally we all get a break from each other for a couple of hours a day.
And I've been very quick to boil over. And I was in the car with Mr. Woog today, and the boys were in the car, and I said, and then he said to me, he goes, do you think any of this might be, you might be contributing to? I was like, oh, quel horreur. And then I went, I think I am. It's really good to be able to reflect on your own behaviour and go, like, these kids are doing it tough, and they're, like, either loving each other or physically trying to kill it. They were just playing a game. Whereas if you got out, you had to stand in front of a brick wall while the other one served at you. Oh, and they can play tennis. Like, those two are good tennis players.
Yeah,
and one round of each of that torture. They go, no, it's fun, it's fun. I'm like, it's not fun. Someone gets that in the eye. You're not fun.
Funny. Does it end in tears? If it ends in tears, it's not fun. That's mine, Oscar.
Thank you.
And this is the thing, right, you know, our guys, they've all got it. They don't have it tough. They have it so easy. The families at the moment who, you know, who are doing this, like what we're doing, but both parents have lost their jobs. And they have one computer between four kids, or just they don't have a computer. Like, our guys have no concept of what this could be like.
It's the entitlement.
Yeah. But do you know what? I saw my shrink on Monday, and we were talking about this, about how you and I were just in our last potty, we're just going, it's the entitlement that's just the rage-inducing. And he said, yeah, because they're teenagers, because that's the teenage brain. It hasn't developed yet to the understanding of, like, you know, just thoughtfulness and consideration.
Can I lend you an observation of mine? The teenagers, they're sort of channeling toddlers at the moment.
Yes.
So when they come and say, can I have this? And you go, no, you've just had a Big Mac. Why? Everything has a yeah on the end of it.
Oh, bruh. Why, bruh?
And it's just like, can you not just, like, let that be the end of it? No, it's not fair. So Harry goes back on Monday and Jack goes back on Friday.
Right. I've got Grovy on Monday and Jasper goes on Thursday, I think. And they're doing four classes. They're doing two-hour blocks of four classes.
What's that?
No, that's right. It must be 1 hour. They must, no. Oh, I can't remember.
You know our love again for our teachers. My God.
I know. Is that an ubiquit around your neck?
Yes.
Is that the gum nut? Is it a gum nut? It's so beautiful.
What the hell is that? So lucky.
Yeah.
Used to bake things for me.
She what?
You used to bake things for me, and that's all dried up since COVID.
I know. Do you know, technically, we probably could have done, and we probably could have seen each other today.
I just worry about Oscar. I just worry about Oscar. Like, I know. And listeners, when we got our new car, I put it up on Instagram, and Oscar was beside. Hi, darling.
Hello.
Beside himself, and I wanted to drive it over and take Oscar for a drive, but we can't. So Mr. Wig and I took him on a virtual tour of the car and took him for a drive around the streets. And every day he's asking me how the car is. See car.
Yeah.
He likes the car. As soon as we can come over, darling, we take you for a ride.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He is so bored out of his brain. My God. We are the dullest people in the universe as far as Oscar is concerned. And it's like so difficult. And
well, he's a social butterfly and they're copying it the worst, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he used to be, you know, on the weekends, he used to go by mum going on bus and then that would be at like 9 o'clock in the morning and he'd come home at like, I don't know, 5:30.
Yes, he needs to be out and about, that one.
Out and about.
Have you been being out and about?
God, the most out and about I've been is to Woolworths. There was something I was going to say to you. Like, remember last week that the highlight of my week was that I bought pyjamas at Kmart and a new plant stand?
Oh, the world went nuts for that. I think you influenced quite a few people to go and get the pyjamas.
Yeah, some new PJs. This week I just nothing. I got nothing for you. The other thing that was a big, the whole family had been building up to it. We'd all decided we bought a fire pit.
Yeah.
Because we're like, this is going to, I'd wanted one for forever. And I thought, this is the time when we're all stuck here and it's getting cold and, you know, blah, blah. And we'd all worked together and chosen one that everyone liked. And the company rang me on Monday and said, can we deliver it on Friday? Does that suit you? And I went, oh, that's perfect. And I was actually catching up with Mrs. Cork and Mrs. Yateman that night, and I pinged them and I went, I haven't seen them since February. And I was like, can't do it. We've got this big family night, the barbecue, you know, the fire pit's coming. And then I got a piece of this amazing piece of brisket from my friend Sarah and her husband Jamie, whose family have got a farm, and so it's an Angus beef piece of brisket. And, oh, my God, planned this whole thing. And then yesterday morning I got the note, you know, the ping saying, it's in transit, it's on its way. And I knew that it had left Botany and it was with TNT. And at 4 o'clock I'm like, where the fuck is it? And Oscar, seriously, he almost wore a groove in the floor just coming in and out of the house to out the front to see if the truck was coming. So I rang them at 4, you know, with the tracking number, and just got this, you know, what's it called? Like just an automated voice message saying, this delivery has been held up. It could be delayed for up to one working business day. And so it didn't come.
That's one in death.
The whole family, like, we were all just gutted. And I'm like, they didn't ring. They didn't do anything. They didn't say, there was no, we're sorry, it's the driver's, you know, there's been an accident or the truck broke down or, you know, nothing. They just didn't show up. And then on the TNT line, then it gives you no option to then actually talk to someone and go, what the fuck, dude? So the whole family was very crestfallen. We still had the brisket, which was beautiful. We still had a lovely dinner together, but it was like, oh.
And you gave up your house?
I did the whole Pollyanna thing of just going to everyone. But look, like we've had like this, you know, late burst of gorgeous warm weather, so it's probably good that it will arrive next week and when the cold weather comes back. And but meanwhile it's like, oh, because what better way to occupy four boys than fire?
I'm just thinking now, I'm getting one.
Yeah, get one.
Except probably knowing me, I'll start a bushfire where I live.
Well, the boys keep saying, looking at where we're going to put it, and there's this gorgeous ornamental pear, like weeping sort of ornamental pear, and they're like, what about the tree? I'm just like, it'll be fine.
Tell you what's getting quite a workout at my house is my Breville Jaffel maker. Oh.
How many loaves of bread are you going through at the moment?
I'm doing most of that because I'm carb loading because I'm due on Monday. but anything slathered in butter, cheese, bacon, ham, like roast beef, sourdough roll, like I'm just chomping. Hey, did you see that thing that everyone lost their shit over about Adele losing all that weight? Did you see that?
I did. I tried not to read very much of it because I could feel the rage, you know, eating starting.
I just think, like, who are we to?
I know.
None of one's our business.
No.
But it really fired up the internet this week, and I just looked at everyone and thought, back off, everyone. Like, let her be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what. She might have had surgery. She might have, you know, had a scare. She might have, like,
yeah. Fuck off. She might have just felt like losing weight.
Yeah, she's magnificent at any size. She's an absolute goddess. And fuck off, that's what I say to that.
That's what I say to that. Although, mind you, you know when you put up your picture this morning of you in your in Styling News jeans?
Yeah.
You've lost a lot. I don't understand how you're carb loading and you're still like, you look fantastic.
Oh, thanks. I actually haven't lost any since being on Corona lockdown. Haven't lost a razoo. And I should have put on because I've been doing nothing.
I know. Yeah.
But I have changed my eating habits slightly to include more fruit and vegetables.
I did see that you were backing away from the processed and moving forward to the produce.
Yes, which my intestines and butthole thank me for.
Well, you will be pleased to know that my green juice campaign is still continuing.
Oh, good.
I now have the a friend of mine has rheumatoid arthritis, and he said to me, "Can I give you my little routine that really helps?" And I said to him, "If it involves crystals or essential oils, then I'm not interested." And he came back and he goes, "No, but it does involve supplements, so if you're on board." So anyway, do you remember, like, it was probably about, 10, maybe even longer years ago when that Vital Greens powder came out and you would mix this Vital Greens and it was like it had this catch cry of every, you know, vitamin and mineral in greens that you need, like, in a cup. Like, it's a powder and you mix it into water or juice. And anyway, and I always saw that and went, oh, I could never, like, how would you drink that? That's just gross. And he was like, okay, you have that, and then glucosamine and MSM, and which I don't really know what the MSN is because I do glucosamine and chondroitin, so I'm not sure what that is, and curcumin, which is the turmeric-based thing, right? And he said two of the tablets each and the Vital Greens and every morning. And I was like, okay. So I've now been doing it for about 2.5 weeks. And within 3 days, my pain in my fingers had dropped by probably about 70%.
Are you using our platform to launch a multi-layering marketing business, Kim?
I am a wellness warrior. No, I can't because it's a bloody, you know, just buy it at your chemist. But, like, there's a thing when you are getting arthritis, my mum taught me this, right, where you have to touch your thumb to your pinky like your pinky, and then stretch your hand out, thumb to the next finger, stretch your hand out, thumb to your middle finger, stretch your hand out, thumb to your pointer, stretch it out. And you just keep doing that as often as you can to just keep joint mobility and stuff. And when
You are so sexy.
I know, right? Like, seriously, I don't know how Rob just ever keeps his hands off me, even though he never does. So that's okay. look, it's like jazz hands. It's like jazz hands, but with purpose. Look at that.
Jazz hands for old people.
And when I first started, the pain in my thumb joint and well, in both, nearly all of them, was such that I could hardly get my thumb to my pinky. So if anyone, or to all our listeners, imagine like if you put your thumb to your pinky in it, like, and think of what that is, and I could barely do it. And now I'm sort of, so that's working quite well. Thank you for asking. But yes, I think you put up the other night what you take, like what you take in the morning or your little pile of tablets.
More Krabby, more Maggie.
What was that?
Less Dabby, Lexapro, less Krabby, evening primrose oil, and more Maggie, magnesium. That's sort of in the morning.
Yeah, I've still got the restless legs and the cramping because I'm too scared to take a magnesium supplement after the last experience where, you know, I basically had a butt cannon and I was just very, very unreliable and quite prone to the surprise attack.
Oh, did you shart?
Oh, God. Like, yeah. And I'd just be in a supermarket or somewhere and I'd suddenly go, ooh!
That's
my sphincter had muscle, like, just poor.
I was having a party.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm nervous about the magnesium supplements. I'm using a spray at the moment on my legs, and that seems to help.
Yeah.
Look at, see, seriously, I'm 47. I sound like, you know, I don't know.
We're going to move on to the reader's questions now, Kim.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay, we can do that. Have you got them?
I've got them.
All right.
Christine, I basically hate camping, but I found myself Googling buy swag discuss because your brain is fried from so much information because your life has changed so much and your behaviours have changed so much. So you're now looking to things that are foreign to you that might start to look appealing. I suggest you don't buy a swag. It is a bad investment. Kim?
We went camping a couple of times before the family realignment with the boys, and I loved it. I think buying a swag is a bad idea, although I understand why, because pretty much only you can fit in a swag.
How sweaty would a swag be?
Yeah, I don't know. We should ask my friend Kiralee because she's, you know, from the country and she has swags and they used to sleep in swags. Look, who knows?
Don't rush in is all we're saying. Alison's got one that's very, very common at the moment. Everything shits me, absolutely every fucking thing. Remember when Trump used to rile people up? That's me about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Alison, you need to up your evening primrose oil.
Yeah, I know you're going to stab me for saying it. You need to go to a girlfriend's house and drink a bottle of wine and then walk, like go for a walk or do something, because that is so normal with me too. Like even like today listening to someone chew in the car, I was like, and then I was like, it's not unreasonable to expect someone to rustle around in their McDonald's chip bag. It's not unreasonable. Like, this is you having a short fuse. But I totally am on your side, Alison. I totally get you.
Yeah. And I think Ruth talks about being crabby. Sark, I don't know who Sark is, in her book Succulent Wild Women, and that the healthiest thing we can do is just admit it.
Yeah.
And I remember this being a huge revelation when I would be really in such a filthy mood because of, you know, hormones or whatever, and actually just saying to the boys, and I do this now, like I just go, God, I'm in a bad mood today.
Yeah.
And it's like getting actually saying it takes so much of the heat out of it.
It takes the sting out of it for sure.
Yeah. And I said to Felix on, because Tuesday I think I cried about 3 or 4 times. And Felix came downstairs at one point, you know, when he was getting up at, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just went to him, oh, I'm not feeling it today, Felix. Not feeling it. And he goes, oh, that's no good. What's going on? And I said, I don't know. I'm just really emotional. Feel like I'm going to burst into tears. I'm just, you know. And Jasper from the lounge goes, have you got your period? And I said, yeah, I do. And that's definitely a part of it. And I said, but just I feel like all of this at the moment is just really, I feel like suddenly I must have reached my tipping point or my. And
that was me last week. That was my downest point. It was last week.
Yeah. And then I sort of got up and Felix went, do you need a hug? And I was like, oh.
What a boy.
And so I know that it doesn't answer everything because, Alison, there's still so many things that I will just look at and go, like, for fuck's sake. But when it's actually just talking about it rather than raging it out or just trying to shift it down and just going, no, I can't feel like this. I can't be like Weezer out of Steel Magnolias. And it's just like, you know, yeah.
No, but it is too. It is true. And quite often I'll just say to my lot, I'm just like pretend I'm not here for the rest of the day. I'm filthy for no reason. And
yeah. And you know what else was great on Tuesday was Rob actually said to the boy, like, because the whole like what's for dinner, what's, you know, I'm hungry, blah, blah, sort of started up. And then, and Rob just went, you guys are, you know, you guys can, oh, I think we were going to have hamburgers. And then I was like, I'm just going to make this because I can't be bothered. And they were just like, and they were like crestfallen. And it was like, well, you can make them. Like, if you still want hamburgers, you can have them. And then Rob was just like, you guys cook dinner. Your mum's just really had a shitty day and she just, you know, you take over. And they did.
Yeah.
And they made dinner.
Good boys. Okay, Belinda. Okay, this is an interesting one. Lockdown is lifting, but I am immune compromised. My GP says to continue lockdown. It was okay when everyone else was doing it, but now, end of pity party. Any other advice or other hot flushes like me, I would be listening to your GP.
Yeah, we're the same, Belinda. Like, we can't go crazy because of Oscar and Mum. And as Rob said today, he goes, we're either all going to get it or we just are going to have to accept there's a level of risk. And I don't think we're out of that level of risk yet, Belinda, where it's worth taking the risk. Like, no. I think if you lived in Canberra, maybe, because they've just had no new cases for forever. And,
Hey, Kirsten asks, and this is one that you and I have both had some experience in, how can you tell if you actually need the anxiety meds or if it's just 2020 and time is the answer, not Lexapro? Okay, so if you go to your doctor, you do a special test, which is really simple, and it just measures your moods. But from that, your doctor will be able to say whether this is something that medication might be able to happen. But it's not that bad. You just go to the doctor and do the test. Do you remember doing the test?
Yeah, and Kirsten, you can even just go onto the website for the Black Dog Institute, and it has the little, there's 10 questions or there's 10. It's a little checklist, and I've used it with some of my boys when I have been in the land of, I don't know if this is depression or because you're a teenager. And it's basically the same sort of test, the same questions they ask, the GP will ask you, but it's a good starting point for yourself in terms of just articulating where you're at in your head, because sometimes once we sort of go from I'm just really anxious or my anxiety is terrible, and then if you actually break it down and you can realise, okay, it's actually only being triggered by certain things or it's in a certain way. And I was talking to my shrink on Monday about one of my boys and how they were sort of talking about their anxiety and what it was, how it was impacting on them. And he said to me, what they're going through is so easily treated through some cognitive behavior therapy. Like it's not a medication space. It's actually just about retraining the brain. God. So I think I think it's time. I'm really of the firm belief that if it's reaching a point where medication is being offered or being bantered around as a solution, One of the things a friend said to me right back when I first went on antidepressants, and I had the script for a couple of weeks and I didn't get it because I felt like if I went on antidepressants, then I was a failure, like I'd failed. But mind you, this is like, you know, almost 25 years ago. So I'd like to think that we have generally as a population moved on in our attitudes towards depression. And she said, Kim, just look on it as it's treating the chemical while you can deal with the emotional. And I just went, oh, that's such a great – and I've said that to so many people all the way along now, is let the medication deal with the chemical issues so that you then have the bandwidth and the energy to deal with the emotional. But, yeah, check out the Black Dog Institute and then – and at the same time, make an appointment to see your GP.
Okay, Yale, one of our mouthiest bitches on the Facebook page. Is turning 52 on Wednesday, and she just needs some attention. So,
oh, y'all, 52. You don't look a day over 38.
Jodie's eyebrows are completely white. Enough said.
Hey, I just want to back up to Asunta's comment about Arnott's. Arnott's are doing a big recipe release campaign at the moment.
Yeah.
And I've been writing about it. And they've released recipes for the Monte Carlo, the Scotch Finger, and this week they released them for the Iced Fovo. Julia was very disappointed. Oh, she said the Monte Carlos were yum, but they were nothing like, but they're nothing like the real thing. And then she goes, I think Arnott's is just sending us back to the biscuit aisle to buy the real thing. You think?
Yeah. The greatest marketing campaign. Yeah. Ever heard of.
Oh, look, and I'm all over it like a rash. I reckon it's just awesome. I've just been giving them the biggest shout outs. And we have I have a thing where when brands and stuff approach us and it's just a campaign, it's not actually a new product or a new, you know, anything. And I'll just go, we don't really cover campaigns. And like the honest one, I've just every week I've given it a shout. I'm terrible. Such a two-faced cow.
I want to say something from Nanette. No conundrum to share, but a huge thank you for the sanity and laughs from two amazing girls that get it. Thank you. Well, thank you, Nanette. Oh, and Donna.
Thanks, Nanette.
Thank you for sharing your warmth and perseverance. What happens to Kim Sands' oven? Will it enter? I think it's really exciting that she's got that all sorted.
So, Donna, Rob is like, I think you're going to have to set yourself a challenge of what you can actually bake on a Weber Q barbecue. And I have already tried to bake biscuits on it because such is my desperation. And I need to work out because I had them just on the biscuit tray and I had only the outer ring of the barbecue on, but the bottom's still scorched a little bit. I probably could have pulled them off. It's probably actually my fault. They probably actually were fine. But, yeah, so I shall be reporting during the week as to how that goes because I am actually bereft. And I think it's like I don't want to liken it to, you know, just quitting smoking or, you know, quitting drinking. But it's I'm kind of like, well, what do? Like I normally get up and I do my whole green, you know, green juice routine and I get something in the oven and then I, you know, hang out some washing, get to work. And it's like, I'll just make, and I'll go, oh, I can't. And then I'll just go, I'll just pop in the, oh, I can't. Like, and it's just like, it hasn't been, it's so privileged, but it's like, fuck, like, this is really a huge part of who I am.
Okay. Well, I was going to read Kay's one next, but okay. I will. I've been hospitalised twice in the last 3 weeks, first for a week for major abdominal surgery and then another 2 days due to complications. Now I've lost hours at work and my future rostered hours are being permanently reduced and my anxiety is how am I going to survive financially? Through the roof as I'm single, I need to be able to pay rent, bills, etc. How do middle-aged single women survive with part-time work and no savings?
Kay, I am so sorry. This is your current reality. That is so fucked.
Reality of a lot of people. Kay, I think you really need to get yourself so organised in the sense of, like, get in touch with your local MP and ask to go and have a meeting with them, and get some really clear information on Centrelink, and make sure that you've applied for any eligible supplement that you can. It's terrible, and I can't imagine that plus operations, and I'm just feeling so sorry for you.
And look, abdominal surgery takes so long to recover from, and the stress that's now on top of you on top of that is going, you know, has the potential to just, you know, really do make that recovery longer and harder. So the very first thing you need to do is ensure that you're looking after your health. And I think what Woogs is saying is an excellent idea. And people always go, as if I'm going to go and see my MP. I'm telling you now, we have lent on for support from our local MP on a number of occasions with Oscar. And the staff in their office have been remarkable. And I think that we do lose sight when we only sort of see what's happening at a, you know, at a big picture level without through the media, that a lot of the work that these, you know, our representatives do is at that level. And Centrelink, the whole Centrelink process can be incredibly daunting. You might be able to access some relief, like even just sometimes you can get like a disability support, but not like it's just because you actually have had major surgery. So it really is worth enduring the, you know, God, the phone system with that. But the next thing, which is really important, is to be really honest with yourself and do a budget and know how every single dollar that is coming in, and then look at every single dollar going out.
And how you might be able to cut down on your expenses. If you're ringing around companies at the moment, they're being very empathetic to people in your situation as well.
Yeah. And I think you have to be really honest with yourself with that. And then I think, for me, one of the big things when I had to really, you know, when I was in that space where it was like, we might not have money to buy food this week, is when you're really honest about that, you then, and you actually start to make it work, you realise you have to just shift your mindset from it being about denial and what you're going without, and focus on, I've got food on my table, or I have a roof over my head. You have to just shift that mindset as well, which sounds, the only reason I'm saying that is because I've actually been there. I can't stand it when people who are squillionaire, you know, inspirational, you know, speakers sort of go, just, you know, turn your brain around and like just think of all the things you'd like to have. And it's like, you can fuck right off, because I don't think you've had a day of struggle in your life. But I know what it is when you actually go, we can't go to that family gathering because there's no petrol in the car and I can't afford it. So just be brutally honest with that budgeting, and then look at, okay, how am I going to do this? Gosh, that's cheery, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to wrap it up because I've got someone coming over for hamburgers. But I wanted to just to mention this. Kathy wrote in and said, I will preface this with this. It will not stop me listening or being part of the group, but last week's podcast felt very down and miserable. It was hard to listen, sent with love. And I wrote back, I said, no, like, you give us your feedback, that's fine. But I think the thing is that we are trying our very best. We normally sit next to each other, we'll have a glass of wine, we've got notes written down, and we'll sort of do notes and sign language to each other, we'll have a break, we'll refresh, and we haven't been able to do that. So thank you very much for sticking with us in these trying times, and you know, we know that you've got time to listen to us because you are listening, and we've welcomed some more people into the group. But if we are down, we are down, you know.
And I think we can all accept that, you know, these are trying times. These are unusual, unexpected times. But interestingly enough, you know, I had the shittiest week this week, but I was like, at the same time, I was like, you can just fucking get in the bin. Like, I was just not like, and so I think, you know, this group really keeps me going, and I think it keeps Woogsy going as well, that we all know that there is such a depth and breadth in this group of people and where they're at in their life and the experiences that they're having. And
we are never going to be an overly produced podcast with singles and people coming in. It's just not us.
It's not us, and yeah, as Woogsy said, we're going to have good weeks, and then we're going to have subpar weeks, and we're so thrilled that you guys will ride those waves with us and listen to one and go, well, they were off their game this week, weren't they? For us to be able to come back the next and win you over all over again.
Anyway, I've got to go because I have a guest coming over. My sister-in-law, Miss Woog, is coming over for dinner. We're having hamburgers. Ah. So that'll be good to have some human interaction.
Oh, and I'm lovely.
Going to Caro's house for lunch on Friday. What are you looking forward to, Kim?
I'm looking forward to our fire pit arriving and seeing my boys truly engage with their pyromanic selves. And, oh, my God, I'm getting my hair cut on Thursday evening. That is what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, well, we've got lots of things to look forward to. And you stay safe out there. And as we like to say,
just keep plucking.